Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And Madison Rafter, Executive Director over at the Southland County Humane Society.
Good morning.
Hey, it's good to see you, Madison. Good morning.
Good to see you.
Thanks for being here.
Of course.
Madison joins us with our Pet of the Week every Thursday. Big shout out to our Southwood County Humane Society and our friends at Current Technology sponsoring the segment. We appreciate everybody. Madison, I want to get into the Pet of the Week, but I sent you something earlier because on our Sunrise show, we go over our National Day of Calendar, and today is National Black Cat Day.
Yeah.
It's a good day to bring attention to that, and it's something that you and I feel passionately about, the idea of getting black cats adopted. It's very important to us.
We have three solid black cats at the Humane Society. And we have four black and white cats, so we do
have
a couple of them. So not as many as we had in past, but we do have quite a few.
It's important to get these animals good homes always, no matter what animal it is, no matter what fur color they are. But I don't know about you, Madison, but I know for me that the short time that I spent at shelters, I got a real love for black furred animals.
Oh yes, for sure.
Dogs,
cats, yeah. Rabbits.
Yes, yes. While it is cats that have the brunt of this,
yes.
Almost all animals with black fur have difficulties getting adopted. It's the weirdest thing.
Dogs are starting to see it a lot more nowadays too, and
yeah.
Whether it's the fact of you don't like the black hair because it gets on everything or whatever the case may be, they're still phenomenal animals.
Yes.
And I mean, I wear dog hair, cat hair, like it's glitter. I'm sorry. That is my glitter. I wear it. So that's something that I'm comfortable with, and that is my glitter.
It's a great line. That's really good. Look into this. And I think that if you give it a chance, you're looking to adopt an animal, you're at the shelter, you see a black cat, you see a black dog, pick them up, touch them, play with them. I promise you, you're going to find they are no different than a calico or any other kind of cat or anything.
No.
They're sweet, sweet creatures.
They are, for sure.
We have some sweet, weird creatures in the studio, and I have a certain love for weird creatures. It's a kinship. Who do we have with us today for our Pet of the Week?
We have Pinky and the Brain.
Yes! Yes!
They are two girls, hairless Dumbo rats.
Mm-hmm.
They came into us as a surrender, no fault of their own. Both of these girls are about a year old, and they're weird because they don't have hair. Dumbo
mm-hmm.
rats are known not to have hair. If they have hair, it's a little bit on their face, and that's about it. So
yeah, this one has a little bit on their face.
They're both very weird, but they're very docile, very friendly little rats. And
I've never
super
held a
curious.
Rat before. This is cool.
They're fun. I really, mm-hmm. I enjoy rats. That's a pet that I really wish to own one day, and they're just very, very interesting creatures because they're so smart. And a lot of people look at them like they're varmen because they're rodents, and that they can be, yes, wild ones for sure. But domesticated
mm-hmm.
rats are fantastic, fun little creatures because they're so smart. They love puzzle toys. They love to be able to run around and explore. And these two girls are just a hoot and a half. They love their blankets. They want to be burrowed up in a blanket at any given point, and they're totally content with that. But they'll ride around on my shoulder and be totally okay with that as well.
They're very, very sweet creatures. they really are.
They are.
There's a gigantic difference of a dog in the wild, a rabbit in the wild,
yep.
any animal that's wild, and a domesticated
yep.
animal.
Yep.
This is no different.
Yep. These girls, again, they are just fantastic little. They'd be great for anybody with a first starter pet
yeah.
that's looking to get into rats. I think the biggest maintenance concern for them is because they are hairless, they will potentially need baths occasionally
mm-hmm.
and some coconut oil just to make sure that their skin stays soft.
Moisturized.
Yep.
Which, if I get it right, they have fun with that. They play with that.
They do.
They enjoy that.
They actually got a bath on the first day that they came in, and they had a blast playing in the water, and they were just running around in the sink. I just filled up the sink a little bit, and they're sitting there running around in the sink like, oh, this is fun. We're going to play in the water. So they're definitely fun little girls, and I really enjoy them. Like, if I needed another animal in my household, they would have already gone home.
So is Pinky the one with red eyes?
Yes.
No, it's got to be. Yeah,
yes,
it's got to be.
Of course.
What are we doing tonight, Brain? Same thing we do every night, Pinky. When it comes to anything as far as shots or anything like that for these little guys, anything with that?
Yeah. So there are basic care that you can go to a vet for with that. They're not required to really have vaccines or anything along those lines, at least not from my knowledge, at
mm-hmm.
least. I know that there is really only one specialty vet for exotic animals, which would be at Oakview, and they only come in on specific days, and that vet comes up from Madison. But at least from my knowledge of it, really the basic care that they would need is sometimes their teeth do get overgrown, so they will need their teeth trimmed occasionally. Or if you can provide enough things for their teeth so that they are shaved down, you wouldn't need to. So
I'm really glad that's not a human thing. That seems awful. That seems awful. That's I mean, of all the things, especially when you're looking at a certain pet that you can have in the house that maybe doesn't need as much of your attention as other animals, although they do need attention.
Yep.
And even financially, maybe not as much of a commitment as some other animals.
Definitely. I mean, it's one of those things that small animals, when you look at any of the small animals, hamsters, gerbils, rats, even hamsters, or guinea pigs or rabbits, like they are considered small animals. So they may not always need the, I need to go potty all the time outside and that requirement to be taken, or the litter box changed every day. But they are ones that still need that care, but it doesn't necessarily have to be as much. The only downfall, though, is sometimes that vet medicine, when they are going to a vet, it is a lot more pricier because it is an exotic vet. So it's kind of one of those back and forth of what are the pros and cons of it. But rats, again, they're really good pets.
How are things going over at the shop?
We're good. We're full.
Yeah.
Yep. Dog side, cat side, small animal side, we are full. So.
Wait. I adopted a rabbit the other day. Didn't that help?
Yeah, no, and then I got a hamster, a gerbil, these two rats, and a ferret in. So
was it the very next day, or was it like in the next week, or whatever?
The next week.
And I bring that up just because of the example of this. Yeah. That
it doesn't take long to fill that.
Especially being the height of summer, pretty much one animal goes out, one animal comes in to fill that kennel.
And it's so important. And I don't have anything against however you're getting animals, but if you are in our listenership, please check out your local humane society first before you, if you are looking at getting an animal. I can't to me, the best place, the only place I will ever go to get an animal is a humane society. I just genuinely firmly believe in that. I understand that there are people in, and there are rare occasions or certain occasions. A good friend of mine, his son wanted a dog. They're allergic. They get a special dog that works for that.
Yep.
That I get. 9 out of 10 people don't necessarily need to do those things.
Mm-hmm. I think the hardest part for us right now is we are sadly putting most of our surrenders on a wait list right now because we are not, like, the strays are coming in more that we do not have the capacity to take in surrenders. And one of the really good things that we started is with our new website, we have a complete rehoming page now on there. And with that rehoming page, you independently, if you need to give up an animal, are able to do that. There are 3 different sites on there. There's Home Again, Adopt a Pet, and then there's a page on Facebook called Wisconsin Adoptables. The page on Facebook I actually personally run with a bunch of my admin friends across the state of Wisconsin, and it's a very safe rehoming site compared to Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, because you just
never those backdoor places that you're not sure where can you post an animal that I know it's going to go to a good home. So it's something that with the surrenders, we do also recommend, hey, are you interested in rehoming on your own? Here's some resources for you so that your animal doesn't have to come to a shelter. Not saying that we won't accept them or anything along those lines, but with our capacity, we also have to make sure that we have enough animals in the building that staff can care for them, not too many animals in the building that we can also care for them.
And better for them to go straight to a home.
Yes, versus coming to the shelter. Yes, we love the fact we are here as a resource for it, but it's not always the best solution for every animal either.
You rock. That's awesome. Great work, Madison. That's really cool. This community is made stronger and better through those efforts. Thank you for that. We appreciate that. As far as needs over at the shelter that we can pick up if we're getting items for our own furry friends, things that we could help drop off?
Cat litter. We are almost completely out of cat litter. We go through at least, I'd say, 4 pails a day of cat litter. So with the amount of cats we have in the building, we go through so much litter. So cat litter, garbage bags, laundry soap, and dish soap are our highest needs right now.
And we want to, of course, remind everybody about Aquatic Park Dog Days.
We are so excited for it. So we get to be there and we get to help with the animals and we get to kind of police all the dogs to make sure everybody's on their best behavior.
Getting along.
And it's an absolute blast. Bring your dog out. If you want to come out and just watch, you're more than welcome to come out and watch. You don't have to bring a dog along, but if you do bring a dog along, make sure you have a proof of rabies with you, either the tag or the certificate along with you.
I'm thinking about bringing my fur brother down there. Sam's never done anything like that, and he's a little bit of a wild card, so I'm not sure, but I'd like to try. Yeah. I'd like to try and see how it goes.
I mean, I would love to bring my kids, but I have 2 very sensitive chihuahuas, and they are not the largest fan of big dogs, so it's not big dogs' fault. It's they're sensitive, and they have problems. problems that they got to work through on their own. So, that's okay. I let them do their own thing, and if they don't want to go, that's perfectly fine.
They got to work through it. They got to get through it themselves.
Baby steps.
That's a great example, though. This is somebody who loves animals on a different level than most, and you see what's best for the animal.
Yep.
You
know your pet.
I love my dogs. They're very sensitive little chihuahuas, and again, I'm not a little dog person, but I have little dogs, and it is what it is, but I understand that. I know where their limits are. I know they're not okay with things like that. They're not okay to the dog park, but they're okay if we go and we hang out at a board and train for the day to drop off for puppy daycare, but that's pretty much it.
I can't tell you how much you just sounded like my father with the small dog thing and everything. That's hilarious. I also wanted to mention, too, and this is coming up in September, so be sure to bookmark this, everybody. You got a 5K9 walk run coming up.
Yes, we are super excited for our 5K9 walk run. If you are interested in pre-registration to get a wag bag and a t-shirt, pre-registration date does end on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So if you want a t-shirt and a wag bag, you need to sign up before Saturday. Otherwise, we will not have any extras.
And check out the new website, everybody. It's fantastic. You've got some really good work on that. And can we see Pinky and the Brain on there?
They will be on there later today.
Okay.
Yes. So.
All right.
Go check them out. They're weird but cute. They're weirdly cute.
It's a very weird line because they are weird, but they're cute. Like, I mean, I love them. They're very weird. It's a weird feeling.
Think
but...
the cat from Austin Powers in rat form.
Mm,
Essentially what you got there.
As somebody who has spent his life walking that balance of a line of weird cute, I'll say there's a kinship there. I get that.
I mean, I respect them because I have a hairless chihuahua at home, so I get it. It's definitely weird.
Madison, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more, how can they reach you?
They can either give us a call over at the shelter at 715-423-0505. Otherwise, they can check us out on our website and shoot us an email at swchs@swchs.com.
Always appreciate the time. Looking forward to hanging out again next week.
Thank you.
We'll have more Pets of the Week coming up every Thursday, 9 o'clock hour, right here on WFHR. Again, swchs.com. Check out your Southwick County Humane Society website. And certainly any Humane Society where you are listening to us, check them out and see that what you can do to help them. We'll be back with more on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. It's one of the lamest songs I've ever heard in my life. I did the Hungry Eyes, man. Hungry Eyes. It's like you couldn't like the best that like you got nothing else. All right, we'll put Hungry Eyes on the board, but we're bound to come up with something better than that. Starving Eyes, Delicious Eyes. I don't know, something. I'm sure we'll think of something better than Hungry Eyes. We'll never record that. And there we go. Eric Carmen's got a hit.
To be fair to Eric Carmen, he also was the lead singer of the Raspberries, so we have to give him credit for that.
I forgot.
Yes, he was.
Time to dive into some entertainment news, but one more time, big shout out to our friend Madison Rafter and the Southwick County Humane Society. That was a lot of fun. That was
very cool.
Let's dive into some entertainment news here, and not too much to get into, but I did want to touch on this. Barbie made another $6.1 million on Tuesday.
Wow.
On Tuesday. Not over the weekend. On Tuesday.
On a Tuesday.
It's rolling, man.
And I don't know if you meant to note that, Melissa, but on a Tuesday. How many people go see movies on a Tuesday?
Really? Yeah. That's usually the day that they do deals, you know, to get people to come to the theater, right? Yeah.
That makes it a domestic total of $537.4 million.
Wow.
That makes it the biggest Warner Brothers movie ever in North America.
Ever.
How about ever. That?
That is balancing for inflation. That is taking all of Warner Brothers' amazing catalog into perspective. Mm-hmm. The previous champ was The Dark Knight, which topped at $536 million.
Wow. How about that? Barbie beat Batman.
Barbie beat Batman.
Wow.
I broke the bat. I want to see Barbie now
breaking the bat. That'd be hilarious. Memes come up.
Yes. Barbie has made $1.2 billion worldwide, but it's only Warner Brothers' second biggest global hit. Of course, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 is still ahead of that with $1.34 billion.
Wow. Mm. Yep.
Kind of a little removed from it, so we forget sometimes, but
how big that was,
those movies, how big those were,
Wowza.
And especially those last two.
Mm-hmm.
They were two of the bigger releases I think we'll ever see.
Yeah.
And those are the ones I didn't see.
and honestly, I think that those two may have been the ones that got the closest to the books. I think. Really? Those last two. I think. I'm sure there was a billion people out there that could argue and counter me on that one. But yeah. Speaking of box office milestones, the indie hit The Sound of Freedom has made $174 million in the U.S., putting it ahead of Indiana Jones and Mission Impossible movies.
Wow. Mm. That's impressive.
That's impressive. But what I'm really surprised by is the Mission Impossible movie and how that has not done that well.
Mm-hmm.
Those movies are almost like certified gold. Like they always do well. They always do.
Yeah, but we're on number what?
To that point, Melissa, as somebody who has watched every single one of these, I'm not sure. I lost track. Yeah. I generally don't know.
It's like five or six, I think.
What's worse is because Tom Cruise lives in a bubble and he drinks his own Kool-Aid, he thought the good idea here was that audiences wanted a two-parter.
Ooh.
So they've still got a second one of these that is going to come out, and this one is not doing that well. That usually means that second one is straight to video. That's not going to happen with this because it's Tom Cruise's production company.
Right.
But still, like that, you don't see Tom Cruise movies not do well very often. Like that,
it's just oddity. It is, you know.
He's one of those rare people that can be jumping on Oprah's couch, making a fool of himself, but his movie will still outsell everybody's movie that week.
Doesn't matter.
It's the weirdest thing. This guy's Scientology, like he is Scientology. Like he is the poster child of it.
Yep.
And if you think of Tom Cruise, what's one of the first things you think of? Scientology.
Yeah.
And yet it hasn't affected his movie scores. It hasn't affected the movie out there. Like it's such a weird thing. Like in this day and age where you could have a movie that is hyped, everybody in the world wants to see it. I send out a bad tweet, boom, nobody sees that movie.
Yep.
Overnight that happens.
Mm-hmm.
You are attached to your social media profile nowadays. But this guy is Teflon. This guy, or at least we thought he was.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Because this one's number 7. Part two will be number 8.
Holy, I was going to say 5. I swear to God I was going to say 5.
Guys, this has been going on since 1996.
Yeah. Wow.
I wholeheartedly admit I enjoy the movies. I watched every single one of them. I'm a sucker for these kind of movies. I liked the TV show when I was a kid. I'd watch it with my papa and that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't even have that big of an interest in seeing this one.
Well, something to consider, you know, that they did take some chances with some of the middle ones. You know, that's where J.J. Yeah. Abrams kind of got his big start was. They did something a little different with one of the sequels, and now basically it's just turned into Tom Cruise. That's what it's all about anymore. It's not about the storyline. It's not about, it's just like, what stunts is Tom doing in this one? You know, that kind of thing.
The last two have really just turned into that.
Yeah.
How can I push the envelope and be a wannabe Jackie Chan as much as I can? I will say to your point, Seth, the great Philip Seymour Hoffman, who a lot of us are big fans of,
mm-hmm.
I think one of his greatest villain performances is in his Mission Impossible performance.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
You get that because of J.J. Abrams, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Tom Cruise is a little bit of the LeBron of acting, where LeBron doesn't like to be coached. LeBron James is the coach, you know, and you usually have somebody.
Don't tell
in there.
Me how to do my job.
Yeah. And Tom is a little like that. He will say, I want to work with this director. But then once they work together, how many times have you seen Tom work with a director a second time?
Recently, none. Yeah.
This is one of those things that I talk to a lot of people about as far as actors go and directors go, for that matter. Look at how often you see people working more and more together. We're celebrating Robert De Niro's birthday earlier today. Mm-hmm. What is one of the things he's famous for, working with Martin Scorsese. They've done 8 movies together. That kind of thing is a rare thing, but it's where you see the best work, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you know these? We're going to have some fun with this next part. We don't get to do this very often. In our entertainment, I'm usually throwing at you news and this kind of stuff. Well, movies you might not know are adaptations of classic literature. I thought this would be a fun topic. I thought we'd have some fun with this one. A little bit later, we're going to get into a good one, too. I've got people's unpopular opinions.
Those are always fun.
We will get into that after Melissa's news. Mm-hmm. For right now, movies that you didn't know were adaptations of classics, like John Tucker Must Die. That is based on Shakespeare's The Merry Wives of Windsor.
Nope.
Really?
I did not know that.
Nope.
Rare Shakespeare one. I don't think that's a common one or anything like that. So I think when you're going to adapt something like that, of course, for a modern telling,
right?
you know, you can get away with it a little bit more.
And usually when they do an adaptation of Shakespeare, it's like right up front. Yes. Like, yeah, this is Shakespeare kind of thing. But sometimes they kind of sneak it in. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love this movie. A Knight's Tale that is based on Geoffrey Chaucer's Canterbury Tales.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, I suppose A Knight's Tale. That would make sense. Yeah.
Canterbury Tales.
Duh.
I don't want to sound smart. My mom told me that.
Okay.
My mom told me that one. And I did not know that when I first watched the movie. My mom watched it and really enjoyed it. Because she's my mom, who's this guy with the blue eyes? He's good. That's Heath Ledger, mom. Oh, I like him. My mother, for all of her talk about, you know, women's rights and these kind of things, is the same woman growing up when I'm watching the All-Star game, the baseball All-Star game with my friends, and my mom comes walking into the room. Who's that? Ricky Henderson? He's got a cute butt. Mom! Well, he does, Jimmy.
Just being honest.
Just being honest. The Lion King, of course, famously based on Shakespeare's Hamlet.
That I did not know.
No, I don't think it's famously loosely known. It's loosely done. I don't think it's famously. No, I'm just kind of teasing. But I do think, though, too, as we're going to go along on this list, you can reach on some of these, too. Mm-hmm. Like,
there's similarities
between
stories, sure.
Here's a good example. She's the Man, Shakespeare's Twelfth Night.
Yeah, again, yes.
She's All That. George Bernard Shaw's Pygmalion?
Pygmalion.
Pygmalion. Yeah. Thank you, Pygmalion. Yeah.
Along with, you know, My Fair Lady is probably the most famous adaptation of that. Yes. But yes, that's another one.
I would love to see a modern telling of My Fair Lady. I think that you could do a modern telling of it very good.
Yeah.
Especially if you reversed it.
Ooh.
I think that would be fun. I think
gender reversal would be interesting.
I didn't think that it was such a bad, you know, it's been a long time since I've seen it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much it's aged necessarily, but I do know that there was some great acting in it. I'll say that.
Yes. Yeah. And the music is very good too. Yeah. The songs are very good.
I think this one is probably one of the more famous ones on the list. And genuinely, and I do mean that actually. 10 Things I Hate About You, Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew.
Mm. Yes.
They reference it in the movie.
I was just going to say, they reference that one in there. Interesting, two Heath Ledger movies. That is kind of cool.
I forgot he was in that. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, he's one of the best parts of that movie. I enjoy. Although it's one of the best examples to me of a like 30-something year old playing a high schooler. it's one of the best examples of that.
Oh, Hollywood. Will you ever learn?
Warm Bodies, William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. Okay. Bit of a reach, but all right.
Yeah, all right.
I think a lot of people have talked about this too. Bridget Jones' Diary, Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice.
Yes. Okay. I think I remember that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shockingly, Oliver and Company was loosely based on Charles Dickens' Oliver Twist.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. It's right in the title. I mean, come on.
Weren't even trying on that.
Yeah, come on.
And I do think that this one is interesting. Number one on the list, Clueless, based on Jane Austen's Emma.
I remember hearing that. I couldn't remember which Jane Austen novel it was based on, but I knew they had sort of based it on one of them. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes.
I love this. I like the idea of this reimagining of classic tales and everything. I also don't mind the whole Pride and Prejudice and zombies or Abraham Lincoln vampire hunter.
Yeah, right.
I don't mind that stuff. Mm-hmm. In part because I genuinely think, like, let's say it's 1 out of 20 people, okay? Not even great odds, but 1 out of 20 people, it gets them thinking about history. It gets them thinking about literature. It gets them thinking about books.
Did this really happen?
I will take the chance at 1 in 20 people picking up a book, picking up one of these classic tales, or looking into history. Like, okay, I know Abraham Lincoln was not a vampire hunter, but it got me thinking, I don't know much about Abe.
Yeah.
And in that movie, which it actually, sneaky fun movie. Sneaky mm-hmm. fun movie. You go into it with no expectations. You can have a good time. They actually do a little bit of historical telling in that. Mm. They actually do tell some true history of Lincoln. I don't think a lot of people understand what it was like to be on the campaign trail back in those days. And the little mm-hmm. things like that, they tell you little tales in there, along with obviously the sci-fi stuff. It's when you're a teacher, one of the things that you first have to think of is, how do I reach these kids? It's the classic stand and deliver stuff. How do I get through to them? Mm-hmm. Look, if this is what it takes to get you to care and to read some Shakespeare, to read some Jane Austen, I'm all right with it. Not every kid is like the three of us were, where we all loved, we read these kind of things as kids, or we were interested by them as kids and everything. Nowadays, especially kids today in this day and age and everything, if it gets them picking up a book, damn it, do it.
Yeah.
It's my favorite way to take in history, honestly, is historical fiction. And mm-hmm. and I like authors, prefer authors, honestly, who stick as close to the historical facts as possible and then build their story around that.
Right.
Because that to me is far more interesting, and I remember it better mm-hmm. when it's got an intricate story mixed into it than just the dry, you know, history book facts.
Hey, don't knock the dry history book facts.
I'm not knocking it.
That's what I like. I like dry history.
You like it just fine. I'm just saying.
It's my new podcast, Dry History. No one will listen to it.
The spin-off.
I'll listen, Seth. And then I'll write a story about it.
the spin-off of Drunk History. I like
that.
Dry history.
To your point, Melissa, two really good things there. One, it helps me remember this mm-hmm. stuff, taking it in that way. Reading, it's hard for me to register oftentimes. But in visual, I seem to remember a little better. And I appreciate you saying that. And with the drunk history thing, I think it's a little similar to what we're talking about here. Because you have to tell the real story. But it's a drunk person doing it. So they're obviously all over the place and slurring their words and stuff, but they have to tell you actual historical facts, like mm-hmm. data and everything. And mm-hmm. it gets people caring about history, interested in history. Anything that does that, I am cool with.
It's all in the delivery.
We have some great weekend shows lined up for you this weekend. Of course, the Sunshine Polka Show at 7 every Saturday. We encourage you to check that out. It's the greatest show you may ever hear. Yeah. Tim Hubbell does an amazing job on that. We send a good morning to our good friend Tim.
Yes.
On Sunday, we got Seth Faces Music from 6 to 8. You got a theme this week, my man?
I do. It's all about humans. Being
ooh.
Human.
Ooh, okay.
Are we human or
human
are we
country?
Denser?
nicely done. Nicely done. Are we?
It's about songs about humans, and there's some classic ones in there. Yes, Human League is in there. I'm gonna have to throw that out there, everybody, because they did a song called Human, which is kind of funny. But
nice. Nice.
But other than that, nope. Lots of great music as usual with that one, and it was a lot of fun putting it together. So check it out from 6 to 8.
It's a great show. I know a number of people that will be listening, including my dad, will be listening. We have had a lot of gifts on Director's Cut. Recently, we've had David Farnborough on, Michael Charles, Anna Rebecca, some really wonderful, amazing guests, and some great local people that we appreciate and we're so thankful for. We have a guest coming up on Sunday's Director's Cut that both Seth and I were like, we had to get
you were like fanboys.
Yeah, we had to get it out of our system. And even with that, we still were a little bit fanboyish. When we
yeah, right, yeah.
With the wonderful Mary Jo Peel.
Yes, yes. Mary Jo, if for those of you who don't know, and shame on you, no, yes, I'm just kidding, yes. Was a writer and performer with Mystery Science Theater 3000, the cult television show from the 90s, which has been rebooted a mm-hmm. couple of times in recent years, mostly almost entirely through fan funding, which is kind of cool. Mary Jo has joined the show again as her character Pearl, so she's still connected there. But she's also does a lot of other things, too. Mm-hmm. She just recently published a book. A memoir, which is really cool. It's called Dumb, Dumb, Dumb.
Yeah.
And it's a memoir through her mom's reviews of books.
Hmm.
She tells this great story in the show about how she came about. You know, they found a card box full of her reviews because she read a lot. Apparently, Mary Jo's mom read tons when she was alive. And after she passed, they found this box with cards about all her reviews. And it kind of reconnected her with her mom, which is so cool. So she decided to write a book about it. And it's a very cool book. Of course, we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about some of the other things she does now, how she got onto Mystery Science Theater. And even if you're not interested in any of that, just come for the Midwestern part of it.
Oh, my God.
She is born and raised in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, you can hear it in everything she says and does. It's marvelous. It's so much fun to listen to.
In the first 5 minutes, you know, we don't have to tell you where she's from. You know.
No, yeah. Yeah.
You find out right away.
Yeah.
We were so spoiled by her. She
yeah.
was so good to us.
So gracious. Yeah.
Such a wonderful lady to join us. Obviously, watch Mystery Science Theater from now to the end of time.
Yes.
But if you get a chance, pick up that book. Dumb, my mother's book reviews, and was published back in 2022. I want to help her get this book well-selling.
Yes.
You know, it's already doing well. Let's help it do even better.
Yeah.
A great author, by the way. And please don't know, and nobody tell her, I'm getting that book for my mom for her birthday. Her birthday's next month, and I've already ordered it.
Oh, nice. That's so awesome. And we have to put this on. I can't believe we missed this. She's hilarious.
Oh,
she
God.
Is so funny.
Well, I thought that went without saying.
Yeah, you'd think, right? But no, she's a very funny, not only a funny writer, but she's a funny conversation, too. Just, it was great.
A big thank you to Mary Jo, and a thank you to you for listening. Be sure to join us on Sunday from 6 to 9. You'll check
just the whole block. Yeah,
the whole block. Check out Seth Faces to Music, and check out Director's Cut right after, featuring Mystery Science Theater's own Mary Jo Peele.
Mm-hmm.
We will be at Lunch by the River today, everybody.
Yes,
we're
going
to meet
will.
You there. 11:30 to 1. Join us over there. We'll have the Central Wisconsin Choristers, Jamaican Kitchens, Rocky Rococo, Chatterbox, La Taqueria. It's going to be a blast. We'll meet you down there. It's going to be fun. May even have some things to give away to
Ooh,
you.
Got to find out what it is. Yeah. Yeah. Got to go and see.
Stick around for Melissa's News. We'll be back with more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Oh, yeah. This is my jam. Oh, I love this song. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. We'll hang out with you night or day.
I'll be sure to do that.
No, nice. I was trying to think of something. I couldn't think of it fast enough. I'm sorry. I'll be sure is still one of those, like, I don't have to tell you what era I'll be sure was
no,
big.
No. Nope.
Like, you know that's an 80s guy. It might be an unpopular opinion, but I still think that song holds up. I think this song holds up. I think it's still
bad.
A classic.
Yeah.
I think it's still good, and I would definitely dance with a girl to this song. I think it's a fun one. That may not hold up with many out there other than Mr. Al B. Sure. Him and I may be the only ones that think that still. And other takes like that. That's where we're going with this next segment. Unpopular opinions. There's a YouTube video making the rounds where people are asked to share their unpopular opinions.
Okay.
I think this is a fun one. I want to have this as a flowing conversation. Keep this up. By that, I mean I want you to interact with us. 424-2600. Give us your unpopular opinions. And you know, remember, it's a PG-13 show, everybody.
Please.
And certainly I want to have this tomorrow. I want to have it next week. I think this can be a fun one. Let's keep this one going, everybody.
Nice.
Here are some of the fun ones. I think it's weird that babies can't just walk right out of the womb like every other animal in the world. It's a little weird. It's definitely a weird opinion. I do see what they're thinking there at first.
Right.
You know, you look at all the animals in the kingdom and everything. They can do that.
See a little horse. You see a horse getting born, and immediately they stand up. That's the first thing they do.
I also see this person watching their kid, and they're sitting there in the chair watching them, and it just like walk already, like trying to will them to walk or something. I don't know.
To put a good spin on it, but there's nothing like, you know, when the kid takes their first steps, you know, and walks to you and that kind of stuff. It's maybe it seems evolutionary. Weird, but in the end, it's so awesome. It's so great.
You got to crawl before you can walk.
Yeah.
I don't understand why garbage cans are round. They should be square so they can fit in a corner.
Yeah. And
it's not a bad one.
Now, garbage cans are, most of the ones you have in your household are square.
Or rectangular, yeah.
Certainly the ones we wheel down, you know, here in Rapids are.
Yep.
The city cans.
The clutching ones, yeah.
The bins.
I say T-Mobile instead of T-Mobile.
T-Mobile?
T-Mobile.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's fine. That's
mobile
fine.
Phone.
These are pretty tame, unpopular opinions, okay.
I was saving on.
Oh, okay.
This is one that's going to bring people out. Zodiac signs are BS.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, there's a spectrum on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to know your zodiac sign and read your horoscope every now and then. Now, I would stop at, you know, planning my life around my horoscope and my zodiac sign. I'm not going to do that.
Have a little bit of common sense in how you incorporate that into your life.
Have fun with it.
Yeah, but, you could do that.
Yeah.
But when I was in ninth grade, I had to write a magazine. I had to create a magazine for my English class, and I wrote horoscopes for it. It's like, anybody can do this. Come on.
Mm-hmm. You missed your calling.
They were pretty accurate. according to my classmates.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome. That's actually very cool. Creative,
And also, it seems like a challenge. Like you did this how often?
Oh, just once.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the big project. That's cool. There was some poetry. The cover. It wasn't a very big magazine.
still a very creative one feature article.
Yeah, there you go.
That's cool. I think that's really cool. I can relate to this one so much. I don't like peanut butter, but I like peanuts. My whole life, I have been a marinara guy. You cut me. It's not blood that comes out. It's marinara sauce. I'm half made of it. But I'm not a tomato guy. Yeah. I don't like tomatoes on my burgers.
Yeah,
I don't like tomatoes. It just drove my nana crazy. Insane. She'd just look at me like, who is this child? And there may be nobody in the universe that has ever loved me more than my nana did. And she would look at me like, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to do with this little Jewish scarecrow in front of me. I don't know what to do.
Well, I got to tell you, James.
Not feed him tomatoes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, don't do that. I'm actually kind of in your same boat. I'm a big fan. I love pasta and Italian food with all the tomatoes. Sauces that come along with it, but I'm not a big fan of tomatoes, just plain old tomatoes. I won't eat them by themselves. I might have them in a sandwich, but other than that, I'm not going to eat tomatoes. So you're not alone. You're not alone, my friend.
And I hate you both. I hate you with all of the passion I have in my body because I would love to eat a fresh tomato every day.
Yep. Yeah.
I would eat one every day if I could, but. No,
both my kids are.
I can eat one.
Gaga over them,
and I'll be
tomatoes.
Fine for. But no, not.
Sorry,
often.
We don't realize how good we have it sometimes.
you can choose to not. Yeah,
that's
something.
Right. You are very, very right.
This is kind of similar. Nuts are delicious. Brownies are delicious. They don't go together.
Oh, whoa! That is a very unpopular opinion
with Seth. I agree with that. The only ones that I like are the Little Debbie ones.
Yes.
And it's because they're on top.
Yep.
They're Same not here. Inside.
Same here. I can pick them off if I want, or I can eat them
well,
if I want.
Well, I eat them, but not...
Oh, I just...
Oh, for crying out loud.
I eat them, but I just don't know. I don't...
Okay, so...
Brownies should not have nuts in them. I will eat a brownie with nuts in it. I just don't enjoy it as much.
I will... I think I know a reason why I like it so much. Growing up, my sister had a severe tree nut allergy, so we had nothing that had nuts in it. And I love nuts. So whenever I got a chance to have that banana bread that had walnuts in it or a brownie, man, it was heaven. And so I think that's why I like it so much. It's because I never got it when I was a kid.
It was forbidden.
It was, yes.
Forbidden
it was forbidden.
Nuts.
I like that. Now I want them.
What is your forbidden nut?
I didn't care about them before, but now that they're forbidden, I'm very curious.
I'm all over it.
Milk is the best drink. Milk is the best drink.
Yeah, again, if I could drink it, sure. I love chocolate milk.
See, milk is good. I can go along with milk being the best drink.
And to be fair, I know there's some controversy about this too, because... You know, forbid we call anything that is non-dairy milk, but coconut milk is pretty good. I can drink
there
it.
There you go.
We buy a combination of coconut milk and almond milk together because my boyfriend doesn't prefer straight coconut milk, but he'll drink it with the almond milk in there because it's not as overwhelmingly coconut. But yeah. They work.
My favorite drink in the world is chocolate milk.
There you go. He's on board.
I
would never have guessed that.
Another real unpopular opinion here. Writers like screenwriters and songwriters deserve way more credit and compensation for their contributions to art and that they make a massive impact to end the product than should get more of the spotlight than celebrity status.
That's controversial?
Yeah. How about employers should pay waitresses an actual wage like every other job so people don't feel the obligation to tip them or have to tip them in order to balance this out?
Yeah.
Just, you know, some crazy, wild, and popular opinions here and everything. But
you know, every time I walk into a Subway now and there's that tip jar, and I always have to say to the clerk, they really should just pay you more. This tip. And every single one of them go, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And then Melissa says, I have this union form that you should know.
We will take a break. We'll come back with some fun on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR.
Mirror, mirror on the wall.
Mirror, mirror.
Yeah.
James J.
It's one of the greatest beats of all time. That beat is eternal. Unpopular opinion.
With James.
I should just do a show. Yeah, it's just me talking.
Popular opinions.
I'm not even trying to give unpopular opinions. That's just who I am. We got some good stuff, local good stories we want to talk about. But before we get to those, we got to touch on a little bit of the That Ain't Right. It's just our style. It's who we are. And this is a doozy, everybody. I've heard stories about people impersonating all kinds of things. Police officers, firefighters, these different things. But how many times have you heard of a person impersonating a doctor?
Ooh.
It's a lot harder to pull off.
Yeah.
Especially if you're 12.
Oh, what?
Doogie Howser.
A while back, a baby-faced 17-year-old was caught impersonating a physician's assistant in Corpus Christi, Texas. His name is Zachary Bailey, and he worked at a hospital for about a month last year before people finally realized he was just a kid wearing scrubs.
What?
He pleaded guilty a few months back, but it wasn't a one-time thing. He's like the Doogie Howser of con men.
Oh, man.
Zachary was just arrested again in Oklahoma on Sunday, and his mugshot, he still looks like he's 12.
Oh, man.
Why? Does it say why he's doing this? What? Oh, my goodness.
Kid. This is a 17-year-old.
Wow. You're right. He looks very young.
He looks 12, wow. Blonde. I mean, he is tall. He's 5'8".
Yeah.
And a half.
But,
because, you know, mugshots, they show that stuff.
Right.
After he was arrested, officials said that authorities in other states are still interested in speaking with Zachary about other cases that he has been up to.
Oh, wow.
How's he getting around? How's he getting to these other states and everything? Like, I know he's 17. He might have a driver's license and everything like that.
Why?
He said he was just observing a workplace because he was interested in pursuing medicine as a career. He said he never actually treated anyone, but he did save someone's life who was having a stroke in the hospital parking lot. He took him into the ER because he had access. But who knows if that's true or not?
Right.
Or anything.
He sounds like he's not the most reliable source on this.
Yeah. It's a little almost cry wolf kind of thing, too, here, where, you know, you can't. I mean, how much can you take him for his word?
But it doesn't sound like he's getting any money or anything getting paid for it. That's the odd part of this. It's like he's just doing it because he wants to.
I got to say, the biggest that ain't right part of this is that this can happen.
Yeah.
That's the part.
Someone can just like get the right outfit on and walk into a place like this, and then everyone's like, oh, who's the new guy or something like that. It's like, then they don't really know.
Staff, well, I mean, hospitals are severely understaffed.
Right.
Yes. I mean, and they're
and
scrambling
very busy.
And very busy, very crazy busy places. So I mean, you would hate that this is what's happening because of it.
Yeah, it's very strange.
I mean, it sounds like, and I'm trying to find the movie. What was the movie that Leonardo DiCaprio was in?
Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
Great.
Similar,
movie.
Yep.
Yeah. And a great true story, too.
Yeah.
Where that gentleman would go on to end up doing with the FBI and everything.
Mm-hmm. And maybe this kid is just trying to, you know, like, hey, I can do that.
Maybe, I don't know, yeah.
Start off as a doctor.
That's a better excuse than what he's given. I think I would go with that more than what he's been saying. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That ain't right. I need a palate cleanser.
Okay.
I get to do that in just a little bit because we got Midday Magazine coming up from 3 to 4 today. In part one, we're visiting Rome with our good friends Lisa and Jillian. Looking forward to all the good things going on in the Rome area.
Yeah.
And in part two, Jackie Carantini, our good friend from UW Extension, going to be on the air with us. Looking forward to talking with Jackie. That's going to be a fun. We're going to talk about purpose and organization.
Mm. It doesn't matter. Whatever she talks about, it's fun.
Absolutely. Well said, Seth. Yep. We got some local great stuff going on as well. Of course, the Civic Media Blood Donation Challenge is live and direct, going on strong. Mm-hmm. If you can donate, please do. Go to one of these great donation opportunities coming up. The Stevens Point Blood Donation Center has a number of opportunities for you. When you go donate, take a selfie, upload it to your social media with the hashtag Civic Pints, and get a chance to win and get, not win, just get either Brewer tickets, State Fair tickets, Civic Media gear.
Yeah.
We appreciate all you heroes out there who have already donated and are making plans to donate. Again, civicmedia.us/giveblood. Be a part of the change, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing happening today, too, Melissa.
Oh, yeah. The farmer's market is open and going strong because today's a Thursday. They are open 8 to 2 on Thursdays and Saturdays at First Avenue South between West Grand Avenue and Goggin Street. And across the bridge on the other side of the river, we will be down there very shortly with lunch by the river from 11:30 to 1. Seth's got that info.
That is right, at Veterans Park. And this is special because I get to talk about this because I'm the one that's holding down the fort here today. I got too much work to do. We've got Melissa and Pam and maybe some Ashley and some James are going to be down there at Lunch by the River. We're just sponsoring it this year.
We only want some of you there.
Just some of you.
Can I get your left foot and maybe your ear? That's all I want.
I can think of the parts, too. I can think of the sum, yeah. Sometimes the sum doesn't always add up to the full.
It's a good way of putting it. Because WFHR and WIRI are sponsoring it this week. It's our week for doing it. And so come on down, say hi. They've got some fun stuff to give away as well. And there's some great food there as well. Like every Lunch by the River.
Jamaican kitchens, yeah. Rocky Rococo, Chatterbox, La Taqueria.
Central Wisconsin Choristers are the music, the entertainment this week as well. So there's no reason not to go down to Lunch by the River today. So go have some fun.
We'll meet you there, everybody. It's going to be a blast. It kicks off in just a little bit, about an hour and a half. We'll be down there and we'll be seeing you, having a good time. And a big shout out to Chuck Gennaro, because we're going to have some things to give away. That's exciting.
All the more reason to come see us.
Exactly.
We love it. And keep on the lookout, because we are going to be at the Central Wisconsin State Fair. We encourage you to come down, say hi. If you're one of the first people, 10 people to do that, you're going to get a new shirt.
Yeah, our new logos.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
Very excited.
I'm going to be there on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
By the way, the stuff that Chuck got has our old logos on it, so this is your last chance to get stuff with our old logo before we switch over to the new stuff starting next week. So keep that in mind, too.
Yeah. Retro.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
Vintage.
We look forward to seeing you at these events and more. As we go forward here, everybody, there's a lot of work being done behind the scenes to get us out there with you and to interact with you. We're looking forward to doing that.
Yes,
great
indeed.
Show today. Want to send a big shout out to our friend Madison Rafter from the Southwick County Humane Society for joining us.
Pinky in the Brain.
That was fun. Check out Pinky in the Brain and more at swchs.com. Be sure to check them out and their great new website. And thank you for joining us. You guys make this show work. We appreciate your interactions with us and your feedback. Thank you so much for all of that. Great show, you two.
You too.
You too, my man.
We're going to get out of here, but we'll have more morning show for you tomorrow. Join Terry and I, your CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, going to be with us for the Sunrise Show from 7 to 8. And, of course, mornings here at WFHR, 8 to 10 on Locally Grown Radio.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.